Good. You know, I think I got a couple of jokes, sort of jokes I'm going to tell you today, if that's okay. And I might have told you these before, but you know what? We're all old, so we forget. So if I told you before, you probably won't remember it anyway. We're all getting old. Praise the Lord. The first joke is this. These have a little bit to do with dogs, okay? And we all love dogs, and we always, you know, they're supposed to be man's best friend. Jesus is really our best friend, but the dog comes in about second or third down the line. Okay. This first one is called Goodbye, Ugly Suit. Okay. When a store manager returned from lunch, he noticed his clerk's hand had a bandage on it. Before he could ask about the bandage, the clerk had something very good news to tell him. "Guess what, sir?" the clerk said. "I finally sold that terrible, ugly suit that we've had for so long." "Did you? You mean that repulsive pink and blue double-breasted thing?" the manager asked. "That's the one." "That's great," the manager cried. "I thought we'd never get rid of that monstrosity. Monstrosity. That had to be the ugliest suit we've ever had. But tell me, why is your hand bandaged?" "Oh," the clerk replied, "after I sold the guy that suit, his seeing eye dog bit me." That's the only reason he bought that suit. He was a blind man. Praise the Lord. Okay, here's another one for you. I'm giving you two jokes today, okay? There was a man that had a dog, and he came home one day, and his dog was belly up with its legs sticking up in the air. He wasn't sure if it was dead, so he took it to the vet. He told the vet his problem, and the vet said, "There's a surefire way to see if the dog is indeed dead." And the man was upset and asked the doctor how much. He left the room and returned with a cat. And he rubbed the cat up in the dog's face, and after a while, he came to the conclusion that the dog was indeed dead. The man was upset, and he asked the doctor, "How much do I owe you?" The doctor said, $550. And the man was stunned, and he asked the doctor to explain, and the doctor said, "Well, 50 for the visit, 500 for the CAT scan." He scanned him with that cat. I had to share that one today because Margaret's had a cat scan. Other people, Daryl just had a cat scan. Margaret's son came home from the thing the other day that they had, and she said, Susan had said that Daryl needed a cat scan or MRI. Well, Carl needed a CAT scan, and it was going to be a month or two before he could get his CAT scan. And Margaret told him about the place where she got her CAT scan, or MRI, or whatever. And he called, and he got an appointment a day or so after. But it's a private place, and it's not a hospital, you know. So anyway, I thought the CAT scan thing would be pretty appropriate. I like it, but you know, you rub that cat in that dog's face, and he pronounced the dog dead because he'd give him a CAT scan. Well, praise the Lord, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to just let this little word that you gave me to share today, let it just minister to hearts and. Let us all begin to realize who and what you are in us and who and what we are in you. I give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. I live to magnify you because you alone are worthy of it all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. I don't have no glasses. I didn't bring my glasses, but I think this is big enough I can read it. Praise the Lord. My first scripture, the title to the sermon today is Fullness of Time Has Come. A lot of times we're wanting the fullness of time to hurry up and get here. And for us, a lot of times the fullness of time has already come. And what are we doing with it? That's a question for you. Galatians 4, 4 through 7 says this. Well, wait a minute. Galatians 4, 1 through 3. Let's do that one first, okay? Galatians 1, 4 through 3. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from the servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, and I want you to realize that the fullness of time comes sometimes even when you don't know it's come. God sent forth his son, made of a woman, under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, I want you to know, a lot of times we still are walking around acting like servants. And we are a servant to God, but we're also a son. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. To as many as just believed on his name. And when he's given you the power, there used to be a gospel song, We Got the Power in the Name of Jesus, you know. You remember that song years ago? But I tell you what, we do have the power in the name of Jesus. But a lot of times we walk below the power that God has given us. Ephesians 1, 8 through 14 says this, and I might just go to 13 on this. And it says, therefore he hath abounded toward us with all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he hath purposed in himself. I'm going to tell you what, he works all things after the counsel of his own will. And if he works all things after the counsel of his own will, then all things that happen in your life are partially according to the counsel of his will, okay? And it says that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. How many's all things? All things. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, and in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Praise God. Now I'm going to go back and I'm going to read you that scripture in Galatians, but I'm going to read it to you, and it's not really, I'm not going to say it, they call this the Passion Translation, but it's not really a translation. And a lot of people have gotten upset with that and they won't use it anymore because it doesn't, it's not really a translation. What it really is this man giving you a revelation of what God showed him about that scripture. That's slightly different than a translation. It's not a word-for-word translation. But this is beautiful, and I want you to listen to this. So anybody out there who's listening on the internet, don't write the Passion Translation off, because some of it is beautiful, and it's the person who wrote it has some beautiful insights. And if you write it off because they call it a translation and it isn't a word-for-word translation, then you're going to miss some beautiful truths. I thought I'd throw that out there because I used to have it in my list of Bible things in my computer, in my phone, the one that I get for free. And after it had been out for a while, they pulled it out because people were complaining about it not being actually a translation. But I want you to know it has some beautiful, beautiful truths. And I'm going to share that with you. And it says this, Galatians 4, 1 through 9. From slavery to sonship. That sounds good, doesn't it? Which would you rather be? The slave or a son? I love that part for it. From slavery to sonship. In a simple way, God has promised our ancestors something better. It was long as long as heirs God has promised our ancestors something better. But as long as an heir is a minor, I don't have my glasses. I'm having a hard time reading. He is not really much more than a servant, much different from a servant, although he is the master over all of them. For until the time appointed by the father, when he comes of age, the child is under domestic supervision of the guardians of the estate. So it is with us. When we were juveniles, we were enslaved under the hostile spirit of the world. But when the era came to an end and the time of the fulfillment had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the written law. Yet all this was so that he would redeem and set free all those held hostage to the written law, so that we would receive our freedom and full legal adoption as his children. And so we would know for sure that we are his children. God released the spirit of sonship into our hearts, moving us to cry out intimately, "My Father, you're our true Father." Now we're no longer living like slaves under the law, but we enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters. And because we were his, we can access everything our Father has, for we are heirs of God through Jesus the Messiah. Before we knew God as our Father, we became his children. We were unwritten servants to the powers that be, which are nothing compared to God. But now we truly know him and understand how deeply we're loved by him. Why would we even be for a moment considering turning back to those weak and feeble principles of religion as though we were still subject to them? I got news for you. You're not subject to those things, because it said he took the handwriting of ordinances that were against you and he nailed them to the tree. When Jesus was crucified on Calvary, all of those laws were hung up there on that tree. And he said, "A new commandment I give you." And you know what the new commandment was? That you love one another. Because if you love people and you love God, you'll fulfill all the other ones, because that's where they all revolve around, is the love of God. But when you give people a bunch of do's and don'ts, then what usually happens is they do some of the do's and they do a lot of the don'ts, you know, in their life. And we all find ourselves doing that at times. you know, we're not to bear false witness. But a lot of times we'll hear a rumor about someone or some, or this or that, and next thing you know, we're telling somebody else, boy, did you hear about the latest? This person did this. This, you know, and a lot of times it isn't even true. But we bear false witness. And sometimes we'll fill out our income tax, and it'll come time to get a little bit money back. And maybe we receive some money from somebody somehow, and we've just accidentally, sort of on purpose, forgot to write that in on our income tax. Or, you know, I'm going to tell you what, I could go over hundreds of things that we do sometimes that thank God that we're saved by His grace, by His mercy, by His love, because we all fall short in the law. And the scripture says if you fail in one point in the law, you're guilty of it all. Can you imagine that? If out here in the world, if that principle stood up, you know, can you imagine that if you ran a red light, the policeman pulled you over and he said, okay, buddy, I'm taking you to jail. Because when you broke this one law of running this red light, you're guilty of all of the laws. You're guilty of murder. You're guilty of everything that I can think of. Can you imagine a world like that? But I'm going to tell you what, that's how heavy the law was under the old covenant. Because there didn't need to be any law. All people needed to do is just love God and love one another. And if they did that, they would fulfill all the laws. If you love somebody, you're not going to be mean to them. You're not going to steal from them. You're not going to cheat them. You're not going to do any of those things because you love them. But just think about that for a minute, you know. My next scripture is Colossians 2:1, and it says this, and this is out of the Weist translation. So once in a while, I like to use some other translations. Having been knit together in the sphere, circle, of love, resulting in all the wealth of the full assurance of the understanding, resulting in an advanced and perfect experientially, something you experience, knowledge of the mystery of God in Christ, whom we were hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And you know, He wants us to experientially begin to experience that same love that Jesus had for the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And, you know, a lot of times the do's and the don'ts will get you in trouble because you get to thinking the do's and the don'ts, and all of a sudden the accuser of the brethren starts accusing you. Bless God, if you was really a Christian, you wouldn't have done this, or you wouldn't have done that. Well, yeah, sometimes you would. Sometimes you did. Sometimes you need to just ask God to forgive you and get up and move on. And that's all it takes. Colossians 2:8-12 says this, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you, or ye, whichever you want to say, I'm going to say you, are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. I love that scripture. You know, people look for stuff to complete them. You know, years ago there was a movie out, and it was about this I guess he was a agent who took care of these athletes, you know, and he met this girl, and they kind of got together, and then they kind of broke up, and then eventually the big line in that movie was when he came back to talk to her, he told her, you complete me. And she said, you had me at, her response was, you had me at high. She loved him, you know. But the thing about it is, the only thing that can really ever complete you is Jesus Christ. And you are complete in him. The word declares it right here. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality. That's all authority and all power. People in the world out there think they have power. Rulers think they have power. They don't have no power except what God allows them to have. They have absolutely nothing if God decides to take it away, and he can take it away instantly. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, whom also you were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, and the putting off of the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And you know what? One time years and years ago when I was a real young Christian, I always wondered, why in the world did anybody ever come up with circumcision? I mean, you know, and I'm laying in bed thinking this. This is weird because God used to sometimes talk to me in the morning at the weirdest times. And I'm laying there and I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking, why in the world was there even circumcision? What was that all about? And you know what I began to realize was, is that circumcision in men is a cutting away of what they call it, a cutting away of the filth of the flesh, you know. But it's a cutting away of a cover. It covers something. It covers the source of new life. When someone gets married and they have relationship and they go to have children, there's a seed deposited in the woman. And I'm not being vulgar or anything. It's just a true fact. There's a seed deposited in the woman, and that seed mixes with the woman's embryo, and it becomes a baby. It becomes new life. And what God was really telling us is that I've circumcised your heart. And people say, well, I never did notice that my heart in here changed. The heart he's talking about is right up here. He circumcised your thoughts. He began to give you the mind of Christ. Scripture says that we have the mind of Christ. Now, a lot of times we don't acknowledge it. And the way we come to the place where we actually function in the mind of Christ is by acknowledging it on a daily basis, by saying, Lord, you said I have the mind of Christ. So help me to make the right decisions and do the right things that please only you. That's the only person in this world I have to please is you. And if I do that, I'm going to love other people. I'm going to treat people the right way. And he begins to cut away the fleshly nature that's in your thought process. And thank God for that. In whom you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the putting off of the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein you also risen with him through faith of the operation of God hath raised him from the dead. You know, Scripture says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And we have to begin to acknowledge that the Spirit of God is not off somewhere, and we're not waiting for him to come back from somewhere. He's dwelling right inside of you. And when we come to that realization of that he's inside of us all the time, he's with us all the time, that Spirit that came inside of us, that woke up inside of us, I'll say, that if we'll follow the leading of that Holy Spirit, we're the sons of God, you know. And I'm going to tell you, Acts 3:1-11 says this. Now, this was after the day of Pentecost, and this was after Jesus had been crucified and everything. You got Peter and John walking down the road, and they come up to the temple, and here's what it says. Now, Peter and John went up into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb, was carried there, whom he laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And you know, it might have been a beautiful gate. And I believe from what I've read historically, it was a beautiful gate, you know. But I'm going to tell you that that word beautiful there doesn't just mean that. Here's what it means. He lay there to ask alms of them that entered the temple. And the word beautiful there, it's the word hora. It's H-O-R-A, and it means belonging to the right hour or the right season. And you know what? I'm going to tell you what. God has a right hour and a right season. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, just like Peter and John went up to the temple, they probably had walked by that guy I don't know how many times. Because they went to the temple probably a lot of times. But here they had walked by him, and this was a special day. This was the right hour. This was the right season. And that right hour and that right season, who's seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, they ask him for alms. In other words, they said, help me out, brother. I need some help. You know, I don't have anything. You know. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And one of the definitions for that is listen to us. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand. He not only said it to him, he got a hold of him. And he took him by the right hand. Remember I talked to you about the right and the left hand a couple weeks ago? Went over it a couple different times. He took him by his right hand, and he began to lift him up. And he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he went leaping up and stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. I'm going to tell you what, folks. I believe we live in a day now that when God sends you to pray for somebody, or he sends you to lift somebody up or whatever, you need to be obedient and do what he tells you to do. You know, something that I learned about a long time ago, when God gives you something or tells you to tell somebody something, you are not responsible for the results. You're only responsible to be obedient to what God told you to do. I had one time years ago where a brother and sister came to church and they hadn't been there for quite a few years. And I felt like the Lord told me to give them a prophetic word. And I went back and I gave them the prophetic word. I had somebody from the outside who knew those people and was related to them. He sent word into the church that after I gave them that prophetic word, I should have went over to their house and made sure that they was living right and doing the right thing and all this and that. And I told that person who told me that, I said, you know what my responsibility was when God spoke that word to me? To go and speak that word and that word only and leave it with God. Now, if he told me to go to their house, I would have went to their house. But he didn't tell me that. He told me to go and give them a word. And I went and I gave them a word. And for a while they rejoiced in that word. And they rose up a little bit. And then all of a sudden they slipped back. But you know what? I had nothing to do with any of that. And that's where you have to learn to be obedient to God. You're not responsible for the results of what happens when you speak the word. That's in God's hands. I could not change those people if my life depended on it. But God can. And he did change them for a season. And he dealt with them over the years, you know. But I just want you to know that when God tells you to do something, when Peter looked at him, he said, such as I have, give I unto thee. Can't give him something you ain't got. God gives you a word, give him the word. God tells you to give him money, give him the money. God tells you to take him into your house and let him live there for a while, take him into your house, let him live there. Whatever God tells you to do, do that. Don't get in front of God. Don't get behind him. Move and flow with his spirit as he directs you. And I tell you what, you won't be wrong. And all the people saw them praising God, and they knew that it was he that sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, and all the people ran together unto them to the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. There was an appointed time. And I want you to know, when the church starts moving in the appointed time, and you know when the appointed time is? Whenever God speaks to you. I don't care when it is, where it is, what are the circumstances. You're not responsible for the results. You're only responsible to be obedient to what God tells you and to do it when he tells you to do it. You know, I used to hear people say, bless God, I felt like I had a prophetic word for that person, but I didn't think it was the right time. Whoa, wait a minute. God gave you a prophetic word for somebody, and you didn't think it was the right time? Who are you to judge when it's the right time and it's not the right time? If God gave it to you and he brought those people before you, I'm going to put it to you in plain terms. Get off your lazy duff and go do what God told you to do. Because you can make all the excuses in the world, but if you want to see greater things in God begin to happen, I love the song, and I love this song, and it's one of my favorite songs to hear. It's called Little Is Much When God Is In It. Labor not for wealth and fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. And, you know, going in Jesus' name meant he sent you. You know, there's a scripture that says, how shall they hear unless it's by preachers? You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And I got news for you. You're all Oscar ain't the only preacher. You guys are all preachers. Every day, your life, everybody you come in contact with, you're preaching the word of God by being obedient to what the Lord tells you to do, by loving them, by encouraging them, by being there for them when God's telling you to do that or whatever. And there's times when God won't let you go to somebody. There's times when he wants you to take your hands off. You know, one time years ago, the young people went to camp, and they came back from camp. And, man, they were fired up. I wasn't at that camp, but they was fired up when they came back. I mean, they wanted to have a meeting at the church, you know, because they felt like God wanted them to do something, you know, to get involved. And, you know, this was just a group meeting where they were going to talk and talk about things and share their testimonies and stuff. Well, to my shame, I'm going to tell you, none of the elders showed up to that. I went because I felt like the Lord told me to go. And when I went, I saw people getting enthusiastic and wanting to get in and start functioning in the church and doing things. And I thought, man, this is great. And I'll tell you exactly what I thought. I thought, I'd been in men's prayer meetings, and I'd heard them brothers praying, oh, God, get a hold of my kid. Oh, God, pour your spirit on my kid. All this kind of stuff. I'd been hearing that for a few years. And I thought, wow, Lord, I'm beginning to see this happening. I no sooner got home, and I got a call. And it was from one of the elders in the church. This is back many years ago now. And the brother says, Brother Oscar, did you go to the meeting with those young people we're having at the church? He said, I heard they're trying to take over the church. I said, what? He said, I heard they're trying to take over the church. I said, no, brother. I said, you know what I heard when I went there? I said, I heard a lot of people getting excited and wanting to get in and get involved in the things of the Lord. I heard the prayers that you guys had been praying for years back in the back room. I saw the results of those prayers. And you know what he said? Well, I got to go, Oscar. I'll talk to you later. And hung up. Why? Because you know what? He was ashamed of himself. And I'm telling you what, you can't tell people, I want you to be involved. I want you to do. That's one reason why. You know, I've had ministers come into this church, and I'm going to close here in a minute. I don't want to keep you real late. I've had ministers come into this church, and they asked me, and we had more people then, and we're dwindling down pretty low here, you know, right now. But you know what? I don't care. As long as God's ministering to people, that's fine. But, I mean, I'm getting old, and I'm probably going to retire one of these days, you know. But anyway, and maybe somebody will come in here and can do this a whole lot better than me. I hope they do. But anyway, I feel like a lot of times we want people to do something until they do it. And a lot of times we don't realize that the one hindering from doing things a lot of times, it's not always them. Sometimes it's us, you know. And that's what I was kind of experiencing in that situation. And, you know, I know that brother that had called me didn't like that. He didn't like what I said to him. But I told him, I said, I thought it was wonderful. I said, and I'll tell you, a lot of them followed through with that. I had some of them say they wanted to go down to the City Gospel Mission. We used to go down to the City Gospel Mission all the time. And I started asking some of them to speak, you know, because one of the older ministers who are older elders who was kind of overseeing that said he felt like he was supposed to step back from that. Would I oversee it for a while? And I said, well, yeah, I'll do that. And I did. And I started asking brothers and different ones to go down there and speak. And, you know, almost every one of those guys ended up eventually speaking up from up here in the pulpit. And, you know, but if God opens opportunities for you and he speaks to your heart, Don't run away from it. Don't be like Jonah. Don't be like Jonah, because sometimes God will throw you right in the middle of the big whale. And the big whale ain't no fun. Because you know what Jonah said when he got swallowed? He said, I was in the belly of hell. You want to go through hell? Some of y'all going through hell? Maybe you're going through hell right now because you ain't really doing what God's telling you to do. You know, you're not being obedient. And I'm not saying this to you all. I'm saying it to whoever hears this out there, because this word is not necessarily even for you guys. It could be for the internet out there. I don't know. But there's appointed times. And I'm going to tell you what, just like the beginning of this, when I told you that the title to this sermon was The Fullness of Time Has Come. And it has come for you today. So today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, but move in belief. Because of they didn't enter in because they didn't believe, you know. And I'm going to tell you what, you can't enter in unless you believe. Without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. Everyone who comes to him must believe that he is his present tense right now, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I'm going to tell you what. You know, I've heard people say, bless God, when I retire, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You know what usually happens when they retire? Nothing. If they weren't willing to do it back then, if God was speaking to them, they're not going to be willing to do it all of a sudden when they retire, you know. So I'm just telling you, let's all begin to believe that we're moving into a greater day in the Lord, a day where creation is groaning and travailing. They're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, taking the lid off of the sons of God. And sometimes we need to pray and ask God, God, take the lid off of me. Take it off. Let me get rid of the junk, and because we all got a little junk in there. And let me move into the anointing that you have for me to help set creation free. Because I tell you what, that's what he's called us all to do, to be ministers of reconciliation, to tell the Lord that, Father, we want to see creation reconciled to you. You've already done the work. They just don't know it. Well, that's all I had to share with you today. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. You know, he wants us to be one with him. And that's been his total purpose from the beginning in Genesis when he said, let us make man in our own image and our own likeness and let him have dominion. He wants us to be one with him. And it's time for us to begin to start believing that we're moving into that total oneness with him. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to have your way. I ask you to give us all ears to hear this message today, and especially let me hear it, Father, because I know when you give me a word, I have to go home and listen to it sometimes so that I hear it with my ears instead of hearing it come out of my mouth. And I need to hear it also because I need to be obedient to everything you tell me to do whenever you tell me to do it. And there's times when I'm sure I'm disobedient at times. And I ask you to forgive me, and I ask you to forgive us all any disobedience that we have. Be lifted and magnified in our presence, Lord. Be glorified. And Father, just help us all to move forward and do everything that you'd have us do. And we'll be most careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. And I ask you for a special blessing upon your people and a special visitation even this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. If anybody would like prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you.